Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Kristen Tissera, and I'm a student working with FitFriends. I'm currently in my third year of medical school at Duke University and have been working with FitFriends since 2019. I've assisted the group with getting their podcasts on Spotify, Apple Music, and iHeartRadio, and more recently have been assisting with their reading program for kids. My interest in vitiligo came from my grandmother's experience with the condition, and my curiosity about the social and psychological impacts of vitiligo led me to FitFriends. I'm excited to be joining the podcast team and hope to bring you monthly content from vitiligo experts across the country. Today, my first guest, very appropriately, was VidFriend's first ever medical advisor. I'm excited to introduce Dr. Vanita Sheth, who is a dermatologist at Leahy Clinic, where she runs a skin of color clinic and is the director of DEI for dermatology. She has a special interest in treating patients with ethnic skin and pigmentary disorders. Welcome, Dr. Sheth.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So if you wouldn't mind getting started by just telling us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I've been a practicing dermatologist for almost 15 years now. I've worked and trained in a variety of settings. I did my intern year in Chicago, started my training in Dallas, moved to Boston, worked there for quite some time, and even spent some time working in Canada. So I've had the, I guess, good fortune of being able to work in a lot of different environments, treat a lot of different patient populations. So I'm excited to talk a little bit about my time with vitiligo patients.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So I guess to get started, let's start at the beginning. What was the origin of your interest in vitiligo, and how did you get involved with VidFriends?
Well, actually, my story is somewhat similar to yours. So my mother had vitiligo, She had it probably starting in her 30s, but I never knew for the longest time because she always used to cover it up with makeup, and it was like one patch, but it was right over her forehead. So because it was so visible, it was really bothersome for her. And it wasn't until I started training in dermatology that she actually told me that she had it. So that was kind of an interesting journey for us. And then when I was in training in Dallas, I was lucky enough to work with a gentleman, Dr. Amit Pandya, who is a mentor for me, and he really wore a lot of hats in the program, but his big passion was really treating patients with skin of color and treating pigmentary disorders. So he was the first person I ever saw that had a vitiligo clinic and would do things that were a little more outside the box, like punch transplants and blister grafting and things that a lot of other doctors weren't really doing. So I think it was just kind of luck and chance that we happened to connect. And those two things combined, I think when I finally started my own work in an academic setting, made me want to start a vitiligo clinic. And then when I was first practicing, I think my first year or two out of residency was when I connected with Valerie. I think she may have looked me up online, saw that I had a vitiligo clinic, and that was how we connected, I want to say back in 2010. And the very first meeting that we had, I remember it was in a small room that was in someplace south of Boston with a very, like, maybe 20 to 30 people who came who were really passionate. A lot of them had vitiligo or had friends and family members they were there to support, including a group that came up from New York. And it's grown so much since that initial meeting, I can't even tell you. So it was first just a small group in Boston, and they connected with people locally in Connecticut and New York. And now I think they have chapters all around the country. They really kind of do a lot of great work with advocacy at the national level. So it's been amazing to see how much they've really grown and how much they've accomplished.
Yeah, it's wonderful that you were able to see them from literally day one. Yeah. But thank you for telling us a little bit more about your story, and it definitely having that family connection to vitiligo, you see a lot more of the dimensions of the condition, not just the skin. But in talking about your work in dermatology and specifically in vitiligo clinics, when diagnosing someone with vitiligo, how do you explain the condition to them?
I try to explain it in as plain language as possible. So usually what I'll tell them is that there are some reason, some trigger, where all of a sudden the immune cells in their body are starting to attack the skin cells that produce pigment. And patients will often say, like, why? Or, you know, can you tell me more about what's going on? So we try to tell them a little bit about how the triggers aren't 100% known. But now that you have this condition, really, I would say we have two goals. Our first goal is if you're still actively getting new spots, we want to stop that in its tracks. And then the second goal is for whatever pigment you've lost, we want to work as much as we can to try to get as much color back as possible. So the other thing I often will touch on is any history of autoimmune conditions in family members or personally, because I think people don't often recognize some of the other health implications with vitiligo, and especially the connection with thyroid disease. So I usually will make sure if they haven't had their thyroid test checked within the last year, we try to offer that and just a little bit of counseling.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Are there any questions that you get asked really frequently when you're diagnosing people with vitiligo?
Yeah, so well, it varies all over the place, but I would say the most common questions that I get asked are, why is this happening to me? And, you know, it's hard because we know it's an immune-based problem, but we don't always know what turns that switch on. So for some patients, they'll come in and say it happened after a period of intense sun exposure. Some people will say they had a recent life stressor or medical stressor. I've even seen cases happen after mundane things like laser treatments for hair removal. So it's hard to know always what causes it. And I think that can be a little bit frustrating because a lot of folks want to say, well, if there was one thing that I could just change, is it my diet? Is it, you know, things I'm using? And it's not always that clear cut. Another thing people often ask, especially people who have more limited numbers of patches, is this going to spread? And that's also something that requires a conversation because it's so unpredictable. I've seen cases like all over the map. Some patients who, like my mom, only has one or two spots and that's been it for life, and they're super stable. I've seen other patients who come in as quickly as they see their first spot, but even within the 2-3 months it takes to get in for an appointment, they've already lost more than half their skin color, and everything in between. So unless it's somebody who has what we call segmental vitiligo, where it's just one side of the face or the body, those cases tend to be much more stable. But for other patients, it really is unfortunately unpredictable. And I think that causes a lot of stress because people will say, like, I don't know what I'm going to wake up to tomorrow. I don't know if there's going to be a new patch. And unfortunately, like, you know, we have some things now in our toolbox to try to control that, but it's not as easy as we might think.
That definitely is challenging. And I think the why, I think in any condition that you're being diagnosed with or diagnosing, I think that's a natural question. But past that first visit, when you're diagnosing someone with vitiligo, what are kind of the next steps and how frequently are you seeing people? And what are the first line treatments that you're offering?
Yeah, so, you know, honestly, it depends on the patient, and I've learned to kind of follow their lead, because some folks will come in and maybe they've had vitiligo for 20 years and they've become very comfortable with it. They've reached a level of acceptance. Some of them just come in to be like, hey, is there anything new? Is there anything I need to worry about? And sometimes they don't want any treatment. But for the patients who do, especially for new diagnoses or for younger patients or patients where it's more visible, harder to conceal, we will talk about different treatments based on how many patches they have, how much of their body surface is covered. So for patients who have, I'd say, like 10% of their body surface area or less, so a smaller number of patches, often I'm moving now to just starting with the topical JAK inhibitor, ruxolitinib cream, because I'm finding that because it's FDA approved, with a little wrangling, we can usually get it covered by insurance. And my patients are tolerating it really well. And so far, they've actually been responding really well too. So it's been really nice to have something that's fairly safe, you know, to use for long-term medication that you don't have to take internally. I often recommend late treatments for people who can make it work logistically, just because I find that it really does speed up the pigmentation part of it. And it doesn't work 100% for every single patient, but I think for those who can do it, it's the best way to really stimulate melanocytes to repigment in the patches that have been lost. So it's kind of working on two fronts with the topical treatment to help get rid of the immune cells and then using the light to stimulate almost like a tanning effect. And then for patients who have kind of more active disease, so if it seems like they're continuing to get new patches or it's really spreading, sometimes I will even use oral steroids for a short period of time, a month maybe, just to kind of really shut down that immune response. Mm-hmm. And I've also found that if you do it at the start of light treatments, it can help speed up the repigmentation process. And I've even had some patients with really stubborn patches who kind of get to a certain point of improvement and then don't change, where I've even done some low-dose cortisone injections into the patches that's helped. And so that's kind of my basic go-to.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it's really wonderful that there is this newly approved treatment. I think my second question is kind of along the lines of insurance. What are the most common obstacles that you see your patients with vitiligo facing in seeking treatment?
Yeah, so I think there's a number of things, and I think it is getting better to start on a hopeful note. But I would say for most people, it's the cost factor and time. So for a lot of patients, even with insurance coverage, for example, in Massachusetts, for most of my patients for ruxolitinib cream, it's running them pocket about $70. And if it's not covered by insurance, it can be about $2,000 for a small tube of cream, which is a lot for anyone to pay. So that can be an issue, especially with some of our other non-steroids like tacrolimus, which also can be very expensive. But even with phototherapy or light treatments, it can add up very quickly, because for a lot of vitiligo patients, you have to come 3 times a week. And it's often multiple months. So unlike other conditions like eczema or psoriasis, where patients may get better in 2 or 3 months and then they can stop, vitiligo is often much slower to respond. And because you can continue to get benefit, a lot of times we try to keep patients on light treatments for multiple months because it does get better with time and the higher the dose you get to. But every time they come in, they may have to pay for parking. They may have to pay a copay for every visit. And some insurance companies cover the treatments better than others. So it really does add up quickly and can be a real barrier for people wanting to continue treatment. Sometimes we are able to get home phototherapy units covered for patients, so that can be really helpful. So you don't have to take time off work or take time off school, because then you're kind of a double-edged sword, because you're trying to take time to treat yourself, but you may be losing valuable income, or your boss may not be very sympathetic to the fact that you need to leave 3 times a week. So it's a lot of balancing for patients. And then for patients who only have smaller patches who may benefit more from laser treatments like the eczema, I find that for vitiligo, it's been still very difficult to get that covered compared to treatment with the same laser for psoriasis, where it's much more likely to be covered. The other thing I think is a big issue, especially with phototherapy, is access, because not every dermatology office has a light sensor. Or a laser. So you have to be in an area or nearby. And I have plenty of patients who will come from far away to see us, but they can't come 3 times a week to us for light treatments. And there's nobody in their area, especially if they live in the state, so it gets very difficult for them. The other things I think can be a factor, some dermatologist who actually wants to treat you. One of my biggest frustrations, I think when I started at vitiligo clinic, was how many people would come to me and say, I saw a dermatologist, X number of years ago, and they said, oh, it's nothing, it's just cosmetic, there's nothing to do about it, don't worry, and would just send them home. And it was so frustrating, because even back then, there weren't a ton of options, but there were things that could be done. Light treatments have been around for quite some time. So it was always very frustrating here that my fellow colleagues weren't being as active participants for patients who wanted treatment. So I think that's also really important to think about.
Yeah, that is really unfortunate. And in talking to people over the years in VitFriends meetings, it's so sad to hear how they've been kind of put down or shut down in that way. So as someone who does specifically treat people with vitiligo. What is your advice for people looking for a dermatologist to treat their vitiligo specifically?
Yeah, so I would definitely, if you have someone in your area who has a special interest in treating pigmentary disorders, I think it does help, because I think there's just that extra level of concern or kind of taking these things seriously that you may not get. Finding someone who's empathetic to the condition, who's really going to take the time to listen, because I find that sometimes that's half the visit is just kind of hearing their story, hearing their journey. Because some of our patients, especially from certain ethnic communities, there's a lot of social stigma that goes with the diagnosis information out there. So, for example, Asian. My concern is this contagious, or you know, you get married, or your kid's going to have a high chance of getting in this. What are the long-term implications? And so, at least to a lot of people, being shunned sometimes by their friends and family, so that makes it extra hard. And then, if you do have the courage to go out and find a provider to treat you, you don't want to be dismissed by them as well, on top of everything else. So I think that's a big thing. And then also just the phototherapy component, I think being near somebody who has all of those options available can really make a difference.
Definitely. Kind of along similar lines, in your dermatology training, what is the education like on vitiligo and on treatment? And I'm sure that's changed over time, but in your personal experience, what was that like?
So I think I was really lucky to be at some great institutions where we did have a lot of options. And I think working with someone, you know, like Dr. Pandya, who went even the extra mile, because even most dermatologists who treat vitiligo often don't do the surgical procedures that he did. So I was lucky to kind of learn how to do things like punch grafting and watch him do things like blister grafting, spending time with folks at Henry Ford who do the more complex like melanocyte keratinocyte transplants. So I think the education is getting better, especially these days. I think because there's been more excitement and more new developments in the field of vitiligo and a much better understanding of the autoimmune process, now people are actually like attention to vitiligo as a condition. Now, you know, patients are like, oh, I saw that commercial on TV for this medicine for vitiligo. So the raising of the awareness, I think, has really helped. And I feel like most people these days know that there are treatments, and most residents coming out now should feel very comfortable with them.
All good things on the horizon. I think kind of a more general question, and I wonder too if you have, since you have a more personal connection to vitiligo, what have you learned about vitiligo from treating patients with the condition? And if you're willing to share how your relationship with your mom, especially in her vitiligo, has been impacted by your career.
Well, I think the biggest thing that I've learned is to treat every patient as an individual, because everyone kind of takes the diagnosis in their own way, and everyone's affected by it differently. And so just letting people kind of be in that space and go through their particular journey, because I've seen some people come into the office and within a few minutes they're in tears, they're very emotional, they really like, it's really impactful to their lives and their kind of sense of confidence and well-being. And other patients, you know, who aren't as bothered by it, whether it's because it's not as visible or I have lighter skin tones. So as long as they're good about sun protection, nobody really knows that they have it. So I've just learned to kind of walk in the door and just take each patient as they come. And if patients want to be more actively involved in treatment, to offer them the whole smorgasbord of options that are out there. And for others who don't, to kind of, you know, not push it on them, just let them take it as it comes. And it's interesting because even with my mom, because it's been so stable, you know, the doctor part of me is like, well, you know, you're in your 70s now. Why does this still bother you? But it's still like, as a human, she's still very, very bothered by it, even after all these decades. And so every time she hears about something, like right now, she's using a topical JAK inhibitor and it's been helping. And she got a home light unit so she could treat herself at home. So it's also been kind of humbling to me to be able to take a step back and say, you know what? Doesn't matter who you are or where you are on this journey, everyone is going to, you know, go through their own thing at their own pace.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking about these topical JAK inhibitors, I think it's been a very exciting couple years for vitiligo in your world and in terms of what you know about what is on the horizon for treatment for vitiligo.
Yeah, well, I think that really is the current frontier right now, is both topical and hopefully some oral JAK inhibitors, because, you know, the biggest thing is that even though I think the JAK inhibitors, at least in my hands, have been working pretty well, they do take time to kick in, but most people are tolerating them really well, but it only works well if you have a small amount of, you know, patches, a small surface area. And for our patients who have more widespread vitiligo or more kind of actively spreading vitiligo, that's where I think an internal or systemic option would be so helpful. And I know that there are orals and trials for vitiligo, so hopefully we'll have some results within the next year or two. We'll see. But honestly, I think the fact that drug companies are even interested in investing the time to research this is a huge sea change, because I would say maybe even 5-10 years ago, that was absolutely not the case. And I think a lot of it has to do with the advocacy that people like Fit Friends and people like the Global Vitiligo Foundation have really kind of, you know, lit a match to say, hey, there's a lot of people who are struggling with this, and, you know, the treatments can be, you know, something that's beneficial. And now that we at least know a little bit more, if we can attack it more directly rather than just putting people on steroid creams and steroid pills, you know, hopefully we can have some really big impact on patients going forward.
Absolutely. And hopefully more access to those treatments as well. To kind of wrap things up, what has been one of the most meaningful experiences you've had in the vitiligo community?
Honestly, I would say it's probably been my time attending some of the Vit Friends and World Vitiligo Day conferences. For me, I think as a doctor, just kind of stepping back and hearing people's stories can be, again, just so humbling. And seeing how brave some of these folks are to talk about their journeys and how, you know, they go through some tough times and how it's a struggle some days to get up and to put yourself out there in the world when you may not be feeling your best. And just seeing how much they rally around each other to support each other, because they know in a way that I never will, as, you know, as a doctor, but someone who doesn't have it, even having a family member with it, it's still not the same as when you have to deal with it yourself every day. So I think just kind of learning how to take that all in and then bring that back to being a little more empathetic when I practice with my patients. So it's been a pleasure working with Fit Friends and with Valerie. She's such a tireless advocate. And I think just every time I talk to her, it just re-energizes you a little bit to be like, yes, we want to help these folks as much as we can.
Agreed. And thank you so, so much, Dr. Schett. That's been really lovely to get to hear a little bit about you and a little bit about your career. And it's great that there are people like you out there who are advocating for these patients who need an advocate. So thank you very much for spending the time to talk to me. And for all our listeners, again, I'm Kristen. I'm the medical student working with Fit Friends, and looking forward to bringing you some more podcasts with some more vitiligo experts going forward. Our podcasts are very kindly sponsored by my vitiligo teams. And a special thank you to Valerie. As Dr. Schett said, she works tirelessly, and it's been wonderful to get to work with her all these years. Have a wonderful rest of your afternoon, and appreciate you listening.